saved up your down payment and found the perfect house to buy, but have you considered closing costs? Hi, I'm Rob West. They're really the first big expense you'll have with home ownership. The upfront costs you have to pay when you sign on the dotted line. Which can you negotiate and which are set in stone? We'll talk about it. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, many people get so excited about finally being able to buy a home that they don't pay attention to the long list of closing costs included with the purchase. Why bother, they think, since in most cases, those costs will be rolled into the loan amount and paid over a very long time. So how much are they? Well, for a typical mortgage, closing costs may run 3 to 6% of the mortgage amount. So let's say you borrow $250,000 to purchase your first home at 6.5% interest on a 30-year loan. Your monthly payment would be $1,580. Let's assume the worst and your closing costs are $15,000. You elect to have that rolled into the mortgage amount. Now you're actually borrowing $265,000, not $250,000. That increases your monthly payment by $95. Multiply that by 360 payments, and your true closing costs are over $34,000. Okay, that was a lot of numbers, so I'll simplify things. Closing costs matter. And if you're buying a house, you need to pay attention to them and choose some that you can try to negotiate down. You may not win, but it never hurts to ask. So here are some closing costs with wiggle room. Homeowners insurance. Your lender requires you to have it, but you can shop around for the best rates. If the lender or even your agent suggests an insurer, don't assume it's the best one for you. Origination fee. This is supposed to cover the cost of underwriting the loan and usually runs about 1% of the loan amount. Always ask to have it waived or at least lowered. It may not happen, but asking is free. Underwriting fee. You're thinking, did we just cover that with the origination fee? Well, some lenders charge an extra underwriting fee in addition to the origination fee or instead of it. It's another one the lender may be flexible on. Loan application fee. This is another one-time fee the lender charges for processing all of those loan papers and, again, underwriting the loan. Ask to have this fee waived, especially if you're already being hit with an origination or underwriting fee. Real estate commissions. For decades, sellers have paid the commissions of both the sellers and buyers' agents. But a recent court settlement with the National Association of Realtors changed the landscape of real estate commissions, and buyers may now find they're being asked to chip in for agent fees. It's another place you can negotiate. Title insurance. You'll be required to buy a lender's title policy, which, as the name implies, protects the lender and the lender only. You can suggest a different issuer to your lender if you find one with a better rate. By the way, always purchase owner's title insurance to protect yourself in case someone challenges your ownership someday. Okay, those are the closing costs you can negotiate. Here are some that you can't, so don't waste time trying. The appraisal fee, credit check fee, any government fees such as title transfers and recording costs, and of course property taxes, some of which may be collected at the closing table. With so much money changing hands, knowing that your mortgage company operates with the utmost integrity and openness will be comforting. Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program, can give you that peace of mind. Movement Mortgage is a Christian mortgage company founded during the 2008 housing crisis. Their mission is to help homebuyers and glorify God by positively impacting communities within the United States and worldwide. Movement customers get competitive rates and a chance to participate in a global movement of change. How's that, you ask? Well, the company has donated $377 million to projects that help local communities here and abroad. Movement Mortgage also has locations in all 50 states, and you can check them out at faithfi.com/movement. That's faithfi.com/movement. Okay, we've been talking about closing costs today. There are many you can try to negotiate down and some you can't. We hope you find that information useful. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There are few pains worse than that of betrayal, especially in a marriage. The vicious cycle of pain and devastation from adultery can shatter a family. So it's no surprise the Lord included it in the Ten Commandments. As Exodus 20:14 says, "You shall not commit adultery." But I think there's another reason it was included, and that's because marriage is meant to image the love of Christ and His church. He created marriage to show the kind of love we were created for in relationship to Him. And unlike the failures of human marriages, which are so common, Jesus is the faithful husband who will never leave and will never betray His bride. You'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? Jesus is coming back, and He doesn't want His people to be unprepared. To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy here on American Family Radio. Join us Sundays at 11 a.m. Central as we reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know Him.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Hey, as we think about applying God's wisdom to our financial decisions, you know, one of the key issues that we have to consider is that season of life in retirement. You know, the world would offer a definition, an idea of retirement that I believe really is not in line with the scriptural perspective on retirement. You know, this idea of retiring at 65 and getting a check and retiring to a life of leisure is fairly modern concept. You know, we really don't see that modeled in scripture except in a very narrow instance around the Levitical priests. God's word really it does not support the idea of retirement that we would see today. So as we think about it, here's a few perhaps retirement myths that I think you need to be aware of as you consider how you approach this season of life, recognizing that, well, we all need to be honoring God's call on our life throughout the whole of our life. It doesn't have an expiration, which would mean that we would retire to something and not from something. First of all, it's this idea in terms of a retirement myth that we should never stop being a part of God's workforce. We just change assignments as we age and our circumstances change. However, we have to still plan carefully for that time when our income may be reduced or fixed because we can no longer work. Another retirement myth is that retirement planning is only for rich people. In fact, everyone should plan for the future. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Well, wisdom includes prudent planning and saving so that we're out of debt and free to serve the Lord as He calls us in our later years. Another myth is that you'll necessarily be in a lower tax bracket once you retire. While that may be true for some as work income decreases, your retirement investment earnings could keep you in a higher bracket. Plus, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires in 2025, and experts say that will likely mean tax hikes for everyone in 2026. And then a final retirement myth before we head to the phones is that you can determine your future. Yes, you can make plans, but be careful not to presume, which means you say, I'll retire at such and such a date with this amount of money. My spouse and I will move here and do this or that. Well, James 4 warns against this. It says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Instead, we ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You know, retirement may not be a big topic in the Bible, but we can still plan wisely for our later years. So whether you're getting ready to retire or still working and raising a family, make your plans. Be on your knees before the Lord, asking Him for wisdom as we submit everything that we have for His use and for His glory as well. Hopefully that's an encouragement to you today. Let's head to Chicago. We'll begin with Mara today. Go right ahead.
Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely.
I just want to start by saying I am 26. I'm in Chicago, and I make $50,000 right now, and I'm a believer. And right now, I'm in Humboldt Park, and my studio apartment is $630 a month, which is insane. It's an incredible blessing. But I'm starting to make more money, and I'm convicted. Do I stay where it's rough and where God can use me, or can I allow myself to enjoy something for once in my life and move into a nicer area? And on top of that, how much should I spend on rent? And I do have credit card debt, but I'm interested in your faith and finance and getting somebody to really help me with everything that I need to do. And
yeah,
credit card debt thing, finance.
That's great, Mara. Well, first of all, I really appreciate your call. It's a great question. And I think, you know, the really exciting thing is that money decisions are certainly about the money side of it, the financial side, but they're really so much bigger than that because, you know, money issues are ultimately heart issues. Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we realize that if something's going to compete with God for first position in our lives, it's most often going to be money and the things that money can buy. I mean, look at the parable of the sower. Remember what choked out the word from bearing the 30, 60, 100-fold return? Jesus said it was the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things, the cares of this world. So how do we balance that and find God's heart with regard to our role as stewards? And I think one of the starting points there is to recognize that, first of all, God owns it all. And so we've been then placed in this role as steward or manager of the King of Kings resources. Well, that's a pretty high calling. And so that's why we need to be thoughtful about how we manage His money. And a steward understands the heart of the master so that the steward can manage the master's money accordingly. And so that's why we look to God's word. I think we also need to understand that money is one of God's good creations. And it says in Scripture in various places that, among other things, we're to use His creation, money, to provide. We're to enjoy. We even see that in 1 Timothy, that we're to give generously. We can even use it to invest in a way that promotes human flourishing and has an impact in the world. So there's various uses of money, and as long as money doesn't compete for God in terms of lordship, then it's a wonderful blessing that we can use in a variety of ways. But it does require that I think we take a step back into your question on what's the proper use of God's money and how much should I spend on housing and, you know, what should I be thinking about in terms of debt and what about saving for the future. It really requires that we start on our knees saying, God, what would you have me to do? And before it's a financial question, it's really a values question. You know, who am I as a Christ follower, and how can I use money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes? And that begs questions like, what's the right lifestyle and how much is enough? And, you know, I can't answer that for you. No one can. That's really ultimately between you and the Lord. We do see, though, some principles in Scripture that I think we can apply, and that is that you need to live below your means, so live within God's provision, not outside of it, which, among other things, credit cards allows us to do that. We need to be careful and not allow that to happen. Secondly, we need to exercise contentment. We need to avoid the use of debt. I think we need to have some goals and some margin in our financial lives, meaning, you know, if we live below our means, then we'll have something left over to do more giving or pay down debt or save for the future. And then I think we also need to be generous givers. We certainly see that in the Old and New Testament. So the key is to find the balance between all of that, to save appropriately and establish your lifestyle in a way that's consistent with where you feel like the Lord is leading. So in light of all of that, then the question is, okay, how do you organize your budget? Well, I think you start with prayer. And then I think you do need to have a written plan. So I'd start with my income, and then I'd kind of put down all my expenses. Maybe you're going to need to track for 30 or 60 days to figure out what you're actually spending. And then that's going to tell a story about what's most important to you. And if that story doesn't line up with your values, then the question is, well, how do I make some changes? As to the housing piece of it, you know, there is a guideline that we use that, and that's all it is, but it's that we want to try to keep our housing category under 25% of our take-home pay for either your rent or your principal and interest, taxes and insurance if you own a home or a condo. And so, you know, that would be a guideline that says, okay, if I can keep that under 25%, then that's going to leave enough for everything else, my transportation and my food and my, you know, the other things, clothing and, you know, entertainment and gifts and all the other things that come with it. But let me stop there. Does that all make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. Could you maybe help me find out the 25%?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to. Let's do that off the air together, and then we'll finish up on the other side of the break, and then we'll be sure to head to some other questions as well. We're talking to Mara today in Chicago. She's 26, making $50,000 a year, wanting to just find God's heart for how she should build her budget and her plan. We're back with much more just after this. Stay with us.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I had a chance to visit with Mara during the break, and we determined that 25% of her take-home pay is $800 a month, so she's going to try to keep her rent under that number. Currently at $600, but she could go up a little higher if she's wanting to move to a little better part of town. And then secondly, to get out of her credit card debt, she's going to reach out to our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. God bless you, Mara. Thanks for calling today. Let's stay in Illinois and talk to Janice. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the show like this that gives godly advice. My question is, how can I be fair to both my daughters? My husband has passed away. My one daughter and I, with her husband, built a house and where I have my own suite. They own half the house and I own the other half. I am 77 and in fair health. I have two daughters, as I said, they're both married. When I pass, half of my half goes to the daughter I live with, and the other half of my half goes to my other daughter. The daughter and son-in-law I live with says they don't have the money to buy out their sister. How can this be handled so it is amicable and fair to both my daughters? I know my other daughter would want her share.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a challenge, Janice, and I think it's good that you're kind of getting ahead of this. And, you know, it's one of the challenges when you own a home together. We're seeing multi-generational ownership on the rise, and so this is not uncommon. But it does create some challenges that I think good, open, and honest dialogue and communication can help avoid, because the last thing we would want is to create any kind of relational conflict as, you know, once you pass away, if it hasn't been dealt with ahead of time. I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, if they're wanting to keep the home and half of your portion, so essentially, if I'm understanding correctly, 25% of the home, half of your half, would go to your other daughter who doesn't live there. And if she's wanting to get that portion of it because she has other uses for it, the only way to do that would be for the property to be sold and then for your daughter who's living there to take 75% of it, and 25% of the proceeds would go. Or they would have to, you know, get a mortgage or refinance to roll in that daughter's portion, unless that daughter is willing, you know, to take that payout down the road. And those are really the only ways to do it. And I think that just involves some conversation ahead of time, because the reality is, at your passing, you know, she has a stake in that property, and I suspect, like most people would, she's going to want to have that portion become liquid so she can pay down debt or do some giving or invest it, whatever she might want to do. But give me your thoughts on that.
Yes, you're exactly right. I figured that would be it. They might have to sell the property. My son-in-law and daughter, who I live with, they do not want to sell. They want this to be the family home. Yeah. So that is a little bit of a situation. Another thing, our home has probably increased by $100,000 since we bought it in 2018. And yeah, at the time of payoff at my desk, my one daughter thinks they should just give my other daughter the amount that we paid initially for the house, but now it has increased in value by $100,000. I would say at the time of selling the house, that should be the amount of what the house is appraised for. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the way it will go down. I mean, it's ultimately, assuming your estate is designed either through a trust or just through your will, assuming your estate is designed that your daughter who doesn't live there is entitled to, you know, half of everything you have, which includes half of your half of this property, that means that she's entitled to the value of those assets, whether it's this home or a stock portfolio or the cash in your checking account. She's entitled to her portion of that as of the date of death. So that has nothing to do with what you ultimately paid for it. And it's not actually not up to your other daughter who lives there. It's really just the fact that, you know, the estate plan says she's entitled to half of everything. And so that includes the market value of that property as of the date you pass away.
Okay, thank you. That is exactly what I thought. Thank you so much for your help. I really appreciate it.
All right, Janice. Listen, we'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom as you navigate through that. I know those can be challenging conversations, but I think you're, again, very wise to go ahead and get ahead of that right now so there's no surprises down the road and everybody understands the implications. Thanks for calling today. Lord bless you. To Albuquerque. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Yes. I appreciate your program on biblical principles. I'm really blessed by this. I have a question. I have a mortgage right now, about $20,000, but I want to move to a different location. So I was thinking of getting into another loan to get another home. What do you think of what that'd be a good idea? Or would it be better just to pay off the first mortgage loan?
I don't think moving necessarily is dependent upon the mortgage that you have on the property. It's really about your budget and whether you can afford the move you're wanting to make. But all of the equity in the current home, whether that's 100% of the equity you have in the home today or 100% of the equity minus the $20,000 outstanding, can be rolled in. So most people don't wait until they just don't have the ability to wait until they pay off one property to go to the next. What they do is they just take the equity that they're building over time and move whatever equity is available from their current property to their new property. So what that means is we'd have to, assuming you can sell this property first and 100% of the available equity is able to then be moved to this new property, you need to decide how much can you afford to spend, meaning you'd want to make sure that that equity is equal to at least 20% of the value of the property. And you want to make sure that if you're going to have a mortgage on this new property, assuming you're spending more, that it fits into your budget. But I wouldn't say that you need to wait until you pay off the current property. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, it does. Thank you for that information.
Okay. Did you have a follow-up question? Because I've got to take a break. We could tackle that on the other side, or does that cover it?
That covers it. Thank you very much.
Very good, David. Again, that rule of thumb is if you're looking to make sure that budget, that mortgage fits in your budget on the new property, let's try to keep that principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment under 25%. And I think that'll help you out. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
We need to just say, Lord, I don't understand why these dark lines have come into my life, but I trust you because I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are good. See, I can come to a God like that, who loves me, who's gentle, who's humble in heart.
Learn the depth of God's goodness. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central. Here on American Family Radio.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Let's go to Charleston. Selah, thank you for calling. How can I help you? Excuse me, I've looked at that wrong. Cecil, how can I help you?
Oh, hey, it's Cecile.
Cecile, the third time's a charm. I apologize. How can I help you?
You're fine. I was just calling because I know you guys have been talking a lot about AI.
Yes.
And so I was a published writer for over 7 years, and I lost my job to AI about a year ago. My credit score was excellent, and so I was working odd jobs for over a year. I finally got a solid job offer that starts at the end of the month, but since then I ended up having to put rent and just like basic utilities on credit. And so I'm facing a possible eviction, and I know I used to always focus on the long term, but what do you do whenever you're just wondering how to get through the day?
Yeah.
How can you stay focused on long term things whenever it's just like maybe I have enough for my electricity or water or food?
Yeah. Well, Cecile, first of all, I'm glad you've called, and you're right. Your circumstances are front and center right now, and so this is not a long-term thing. It's a day-to-day thing, and I think that's okay. It's, you know, although we don't want to, you know, take your eyes off the goodness of God, we do realize that there are some very real circumstances and situations you're in the middle of right now, and you're just going from one thing to the next. And I get that. And that's just the season that you're in right now. And so I think the key is to remind yourself of God's faithfulness every step of the way. Keep your eyes focused on Him as your provider, knowing that He will never leave you or forsake you. We know His promises are true, and we certainly see that in Scripture. We need to be praying, and I suspect you are, and we would like to be a part of that with you. I'll ask our faith and finance community to be praying for you as well. We'll certainly do that here today, because we know that no one is your provider other than God. And so we're going to ask Him to intervene in this situation, which is desperate right now. What you're facing is something that a lot of folks are facing as our economy changes and whole industries are being disrupted and replaced. It's a real implication of AI and some of the technological advances. And I'm delighted to hear that you have the prospect of another job, and yet you're in the midst of right now just keeping food on the table and a roof over your head. And so I think during a season like this, we have to focus on what we call the big four. I mean, you've got to keep that roof over your head. You got to keep food on the table. You got to keep the utilities on, and you got to keep gas in the car so you can get to that, you know, job interview. And Lord willing, when that new job starts, you know, you're able to get there, and everything else is kind of on the table, and we need to look for every possible situation to cut back as you weather this storm. Secondly, I think, you know, one of the keys is to lean into your creditors, you know, not running away from them. And so I think just being open and honest with where you're at right now, staying in communication when you can't cover bills that become past due, and keeping those lines of communication open. Thirdly, what I'd like to do is provide one of our certified Christian financial counselors to kind of journey with you and help you prioritize what bills need to be paid from what resources you have. Are you collecting any unemployment yet? Has that kicked in?
No, because technically I wasn't unemployed. So I do have a job. I accepted an offer. It starts at the end of the month.
Okay.
But all I right. just figured that there were other people who actually needed it, and I was able-bodied, but I burnt myself out working all around the clock, different hours and different places every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said you're facing eviction. Have you talked to your landlord? Is there a possibility with the prospect of your work resuming at the end of the month that, you know, they'll work with you on that?
So they actually locked me out of the payment portal to pay my rent. So I have to go to the court and tell the judge that, because technically it's a forced eviction.
Okay.
Which is illegal in South Carolina.
Well, I know this is so really challenging.
I've been staying in the book of Job because I know that God he provides us with everything, but I try to remind myself that he took everything away from Job, and it was because he knew that he would pass the test and you would never let go. But he still learned something about being humble in the end too.
He did. And certainly he allowed that to happen. But, you know, I think the key is that you focus on God's promises and remind yourself that he is your provider and that you're set apart. You're a royal priesthood, is what we read in God's word with regard to your status, your right standing before God. We know that his promises are true, and that he will walk alongside you and journey with you even during this difficult and desperate season. And we can trust that even miraculously, God will provide. And I think we can see part of that provision even in this job that you're going to be starting at the end of the month. And so we need to continue to press forward to that and manage each day and deal with the things that are right in front of you. And I think the most important thing right now is keeping that roof over your head and seeing if you can work through the legal process, given what you just described about the place that you're living. So let's do this. I'm going to have my team get your information. We'll get somebody in touch with you tomorrow, one of our certified Christian financial counselors who can just help you analyze exactly what you have right now. Sometimes when we get in these seasons, it's just difficult to even see where am I at today, just because everything just feels like a weight. And so I think somebody who can take another fresh look at this and say, okay, let's look at what are your obligations. Let's take it a week at a time and figure out how they can keep you on track with whatever resources you have, what phone calls you need to make, where you need to go to kind of lean into this situation and deal with whatever creditors or vendors are looking for payment right away. And we're just going to ask the Lord would soften their hearts and cause them to work with you in that. But you stay on the line, Cecile, and we'll get your information and get somebody in touch with you, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. Let me pray for you. Father, we just lift Cecile up to you. We know, Father, you're her creator and provider and sustainer. We thank you that we can trust you today. We thank you for this job that she's going to be starting at the end of the month. And we just ask that you would work in the midst of these difficult situations, that as she makes phone calls and as she engages with her creditors and her landlord, that she would be met with an unexpected favor, that you would soften hearts and cause them to see the circumstances that surround where she's at today, her desire to work, and the fact that there's a gap in her income that is a result of the job that was eliminated. Lord, we're going to trust you in that, and we're just going to thank you in advance for how much you love her and how you're going to provide for her. I pray that you remind her of that today, of her standing before you as a child of the King. And we tell you today we love you, and we're most thankful for Jesus, and we ask this in his name. Cecile, you hang in there, and we'll get your information, get somebody in touch with you. Thanks for your call. God bless you. We'll be right back.
When life gets busy, there doesn't seem to be a lot of room for thankfulness or kindness or mercy. Coming up next time on Focus on the Family, Kay Wima invites you to try the Peace Project, a 30-day experiment to bring godly virtues into your life instead of anger, fear, and entitlement. Learn more about the Peace Project next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Oh, I know, Christianity's for Sunday. What you do Monday through Friday, that's your... No, it's not that way at all. The Holy Spirit doesn't take Monday through Friday off. He's with you every day. He goes with you in every situation.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series in Ephesians, Belief That Behaves, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're going to head back to the phones here in just a moment. You know, in our state of helplessness, when we find ourselves with circumstances and difficulties, we don't know where to turn, we can be reminded that through our weaknesses, we become strong. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, knew this full well, what it meant to be weak. And God's response when he pleaded with him to remove this thorn in his flesh was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." You know, your heavenly Father knows your struggles and invites you to bring them to him so that he can give you strength and be your strength. And for his sake, allow his power to be made evident in your life through your weakness. And so our prayer for you today, if you're struggling and find yourself in this difficult and desperate situation, is that you would turn to God and realize that he is more than enough and that he will be your provider and that we can trust him. We can be honest with him about where we find ourselves today, but we need to keep our eyes focused on the goodness of God and to the best of our ability off our circumstances. And I realize that is much easier said than done. And yet, at the end of the day, we know that he will never leave us or forsake us. And so, for those of you who find yourself in that desperate situation today, we would just invite you to turn your eyes and your sights to the Creator God, who owns everything and is the one who can be trusted in these situations. Let's head back to the phones today. We'll go to Mississippi. Josephine, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a Vanguard account, and they want to close it up, and I got a letter, and I got 30 days from the letter that it can automatically be transferred. But I don't want Vanguard anymore. This is my second marriage, and I've noticed I've been in spiritual warfare, and my account never grew. And the Lord showed me why. My second marriage, it wasn't a very... I'm still in it. I'm struggling. Spiritual warfare. And so I want to put it somewhere safe, in another stock place, or that's why I'm calling you. Where can I transfer, and how do I do it to do it?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
Josephine, what type of account is it? I know you said it's at Vanguard, but is it a retirement account like an IRA, or is it just what we call a taxable account?
It's a statement overview, Vanguard Voyage Services.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I just kept on putting money in there. And
okay, very good. And what
is retirement card? It's just then I got a W-2023 form 1999 DIV.
Okay. Okay, yeah, very good. Let me ask you this. How much is in the account roughly?
Roughly. Well, what kept on getting this. Let me. Okay, it's, let's see, what month is this?
Just roughly.
Okay, 121.282.94.
Okay, so you've got about $120,000. You know, what I would recommend, Josephine, is that you find a trusted advisor, a believer who's an investment advisor who could not only help you move this out of Vanguard, but really take a step back and help you determine what do you want to do with it. And if you want to keep it in the most secure type of vehicle, what options do you have? And, you know, typically what you would do is either put it in a high-yield savings account, which could be done at a bank or a credit union, or you could put it into some CDs, some certificates of deposit at a bank or a credit union. Or if you want to invest it, albeit conservatively, an advisor could help you do that, and you could transfer it out to wherever the advisor has their clients custody their assets. It could be something like Fidelity or Charles Schwab or one of those types of firms. But I think that advisor could help you. Now, if you know you want to put it in bank-type products, then that could be an easy transfer into a bank, perhaps where you already bank right now. Would you rather work with a bank, or would you rather work with a financial advisor?
Well, the bank, my husband also deals there, so I don't know if I can trust them.
Okay.
I'd like to deal with a bank. I'd like to see my dad years ago. I'm very old, yeah. But he bought CDs, and he advised me as a child. So I'd like to go to CDs he did. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, so I think if you don't want to work at the bank you're currently at, you could work at another bank, perhaps one you find locally there in town. Any of them could help you move the account from Vanguard to their bank, and then you could go into CDs. And CDs are paying a very attractive rate right now. So here's what I would recommend. Either go to your existing bank, or if you're not comfortable there, determine which bank you want to use there in town. If you want to use a Christian credit union, you could go to Christian Community Credit Union. Either of those, I think, would be a great option. And then whoever you decide to work with, which whatever bank it is, they'll open an account, and then they can help you transfer the money from Vanguard over to their bank so you can buy those CDs. But I think that's going to be your best next option, Josephine. We appreciate your call today. I know this can be overwhelming, but they'll be glad to help you once you determine which bank you're going to go with. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Bolingbrook. Joellen, go right ahead.
Hi, thank you. I am turning 65 this January. I am still working full-time, same job for 26 years. I don't know when I'll retire. My question is, I'm getting bombarded with Medicare information stating, you know, you need to sign up. My question is, do I need to sign up for Medicare within 3 months of my 63rd birthday to avoid a lifetime late enrollment penalty, or do I wait till I'm retired? I'm just so confused with the process.
Yes. Do you have existing health care coverage under your current employer?
I do. And then I'm also on my husband, so I have two insurance.
Okay.
Coverage.
Yeah. Sure. So, I think that's the key here is that while you're still working, you can delay enrollment in Medicare so long as you're actively employed. Now, whenever you separate, that's when that, that period will kick in where you'll have the 3 months. But if you're actively employed or you have a spouse that has effective coverage, then you do not have those same requirements to enroll in Medicare.
So I can completely not worry and have peace of mind that when my birthday comes, I don't have to worry about any of this till I'm interested in retiring.
That is correct. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you brought peace of mind then. Thank you for answering that question.
Okay. You are welcome. And the key there is the exception to the mandatory sign up at 65 is for people who are still actively employed at that age and for their spouses. If that's the case, you're actively employed or you're a spouse of somebody who's actively employed, then you may delay enrollment in Medicare beyond age 65. You do not have to worry about it until such time as you are not actively employed or have a spouse who is also. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. To West Palm Beach. Hi, Sylvia. Go ahead.
Hi, Sir Ron. Thanks for the privilege of talking with you.
Thank
I'm
you.
A U.S. citizen by choice and a West Indian by birth. All my adult life I've lived in the U.S. I have a good problem. I recently, I'm 2 years widowed, but I have some properties in the islands that I want to contribute, or I want it to be used, not to be sold, to be used in kingdom building. I have 5 children, two sons are with God in glory. I have 3 daughters, 5 grandsons. And I'm currently living with my daughter since I've been widowed. I have some property. My husband and I have been Christians all our life. We went to Christian universities here in America. But I have 2 waterfront properties and 8 acres of agricultural land. We had dreams for using the properties, the waterfronts, we wanted to build to make a Christian conference center and camping grounds. And then the agricultural land we wanted to use for abandoned children and abused women, set up homes for them. And he died with the dreams unfulfilled, still on paper. I
yes.
do not want to sell the land.
I see. Yeah. Well, you have a wonderful vision, and I understand how you want to honor your late husband's desires to use it for kingdom building activities, and that's incredible. So I'm thrilled to hear that. Sylvia, unfortunately, I don't have a specific organization to refer you to, other than I might reach out to our friends at the National Christian Foundation. The National Christian Foundation. It's on the web at ncfgiving.com, and they may be able to connect you with a ministry who might be able to help you use what sounds like an amazing property for kingdom building work. Thanks for your call today. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. Let me say a big thanks to my team today. Certainly couldn't do this without them. Handling our phones today was Adam Suddeth, producing and engineering today, Mr. Devin Patrick, and providing me with great research today and just helping navigate the program is Jim Henry, my partner in crime here on Faith and Finance. Thanks to you for being along with us today. And we'll look forward to having you back tomorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.